Thank you, Colin. I'm glad that on the billing I was both a comedian and a raconteur, because I, when you do comedy, when you do stand-up comedy, you're very used to actually having some feedback and response in the form of audible or visual response from the audience. So doing a Zoom thing is, I've been petrified of doing it. And I have been invited to Speaky Spokey before to do it by Skype and have always been afraid of doing it by Skype. But now everybody's working with Zoom and everybody's doing it. It's like, I have to do it. So I wanted to just say... So thank you very much. And today, you know, I, as a comedian, I would expect to be heckled and some response to that. But now it's going to take about 10 minutes to read the chat. So any heckle is going to come back at me much, much later. So today, see me please as a raconteur, which I quite like that as a moniker. So again, thank you so much to Colin and Joe for inviting me here today to Speaky Spokey, and also to get the chance to speak to a worldwide audience. So I want to start by saying good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be. Howdy, aloha, and g'day. That's especially for the people in Leeds and Brighton. I ought to say also hello to my mum and dad and my sisters who are tuning in tonight. Happy to say that this episode of Speaky Spokey is what we're doing instead of a family get-together this year. So hello, mum and dad. I'm saying hello to them, although there's a very high chance that they haven't yet figured out how to log into this Zoom meeting yet, and most likely are sitting in their kitchen shouting, I've clicked it already, I've clicked it, it's not working, I've clicked it, I've told you, I've clicked it, only to realise that they've confused the computer with the microwave again. Colin and Joe have asked me to ask you to write any questions that you might have about Sweden and our non-lockdown in the chat, and I want you to know that I will respond to these questions in very much the same way as Donald Trump responds to the questions at his press briefings. Trump has been a real inspiration to me during this time of corona, and like him, tonight I will hold forth, speak with confidence and authority, but please bear in mind that my opinions are rarely grounded in facts, figures or science, and that I may very well be making it up as I go along. If there's a sniff of doubt about anything I'm saying, just remember that I am doing a very, very good, powerful and tremendous job. And just remember, folks, this is about me. It's not about you. So let's raise a glass of bleach to that. You all want to know now what life is like with the lockdown that isn't. Now, firstly, I have to give you a trigger warning. A couple of times over the last couple of weeks, I've been speaking to friends in England and talked about what I've been up to during the day and watched their faces collapse, their brows sink, their complexion turn grey, and a look of jealousy and longing filling their eyes. And all I've done is simply mention everyday things that we're doing, like popping over to the pub to meet up with friends, going to the park for a couple of hours, waving the kids off to school. In fact, you're all doing exactly that face now. Was it something I said? Because here in Sweden, at the moment, there's no police controls. And on the whole, we're free to do what we like as long as we do so responsibly. Although, of course, burning down 5G mobile phone towers and injecting bleach into your lungs are frowned upon here. Now, you have to understand a little bit about Sweden. This is a big country where people are very good at following the rules. Also, Swedes aren't generally over-effusive or touchy-feely. Now, while the US has got Donald Trump, the wrong man at the wrong time, in Sweden we've got the opposite. We found our very own unassuming hero in the form of the state epidemiologist Anders Tegnell. He's a tall, avuncular man in his early 60s. He looks a little bit like the quiet guy in the corner of the pub who you'd be directed to if there was an argument about the pros and cons of the narrow gauge railway network over that of the standard gauge. There's a lot of corduroy and woolen wear at the press conferences. And on the whole, people trust him. And the main reason for this is that, again, in complete contrast to Trump, he speaks with great humility, self-deprecation and a healthy degree of self-doubt. He's also mastered the Swedish knack of never really making a decision that can be pinned on him. When asked by a journalist, will this work? His answer is, we don't know. We'll only really know if we did the right thing when we look back in a year or two. The main thrust of his argument is that everyone's going to get corona at some point, so as long as the healthcare system can cope, and so far it is more or less coping, and we try to protect the most vulnerable. We should try and spread out the infection at a manageable rate. He could be wrong and he could be right, but we'll see. At restaurants and bars, yes, folks, the restaurants and bars are open. You can only sit with your own group, i.e. the people you turned up with. In a small town, that's difficult because you inevitably bump into friends. So you wave, leave the pub together, and go to another pub where you bump into another group of friends, leave that pub together, go to another pub as a single group, and by the end of the night, return to the original pub as one massive group of people, all completely shit-faced and forgetting all the rules of social distancing. Out and about, the social distancing rules have meant people are being more friendly than they've ever been in the past. For example, I've lived in my house for over a decade, and every morning without fail, I walk past the same neighbour out walking her dog. For the first 2 years, she avoided my gaze completely. It took another 3 years for her to get comfortable with eye contact. And only in the last 12 months has she afforded me a smile. Pretty much on the day that the government introduced the new rules about social distancing, she stopped me for a little chit-chat. We chewed the fat for a few minutes as her dog sniffed around my ankles, and this amiability has continued. I can only suspect that she's desperately trying to infect me as revenge for all the years of me disturbing her quiet, contemplative morning walks. Now, we're supposed to avoid shaking hands. The other day, as I was dropping off my 5-year-old at nursery, the dad of a new kid introduced himself outside and shook my hand enthusiastically. He seemed like a nice guy, but I was thrown by what just a few weeks ago was such a normal thing to do. I said, "Nice to meet you." Then I ran inside and scrubbed my hands with soap and water and a good squirt of hand sanitizer. Then I reported him to the nursery staff and had his child sent home. My father-in-law has become an expert on corona, albeit one full of contradictions. According to him, he is in a risk group, and at the same time, he absolutely isn't in a risk group. An arm's length from other people is more than enough, but 2 metres is nowhere near enough. It's just like getting the flu for a day or two, and also, it will kill everybody. According to him, we may all have it already, but of course, it's the good kind of corona rather than the bad kind. Now, when the first news of corona started, I was up in the very far north of Sweden, gigging in the border town of Haparanda. Haparanda is pretty much as far as you can go. It's the end of the road, finished. I should add, I'm talking geographically here rather than as a metaphor for my career as a comedian. Haparanda is at the point on the map where Sweden meets Finland, and it really is worth a visit if ever you happen to be passing. Side note, nobody is ever simply passing Haparanda. For a quarter of the year, the people there live in perpetual darkness. For one quarter of the year, they live in perpetual daylight. And for the remaining 2 quarters, it's like a long, drawn-out dusk and dawn blended into a shade of grey. Over the border in Finland, there's a different time zone, a different currency, different laws, and a different language. You wander over, sing some karaoke, and then wander back. That's what there is to do there. Or at least they did until Finland closed everything down. Now the Finns sneak over the border to sing their karaoke. They have reindeer there, and ice and snow, and it really is a beautiful place to visit. But because it's so far away from anything, the only people who go there are comedians on tour and very wealthy honeymooning Chinese couples who believe that if your baby is conceived under the northern lights, it'll be a lucky baby. The hotel breakfast there was full of angry Chinese couples, frustrated that the previous night had been cloudy and therefore aurora borealis and nookie free. There were whispers about the emerging epidemic in Wuhan, and any cough was met with stares and a shuffling of chairs. As things started to heat up in Sweden, the north was one of the first and worst places to be affected. Not because of the Chinese tourists, but more because of the Stockholmers who'd been on skiing holidays in northern Italy, which they followed by more skiing holidays in northern Sweden, where they partied like there was no tomorrow, which for some was indeed the case. For the comedy world, it became clearer and clearer that things would have to change. First, the government added a restriction of 500 people in one venue. Everyone made jokes that comedian X or comedian Y wouldn't be affected as they would never sell that many tickets anyway. How we all laughed. Then the limit was reduced to 50. Everyone made jokes that comedian X or comedian Y wouldn't be affected as they would never sell that many tickets anyway. How we all laughed. Some gigs are still going ahead even now, limiting the number to 49 people, including all the people on stage. But they're struggling to sell more than a handful of tickets. the appetite for live entertainment has gone. And as I said earlier, the Swedes are not willing to break the rules that aren't really rules, but just recommendations. I think we're doing okay so far in Sweden. People are getting ill, and unfortunately, the death toll is now as high as a couple of thousand. Although in terms of deaths per million, and where we are on the curve is apparently comparable to other countries. They also think that the rate of infection is starting to flatten, and that the population may be on the way to achieving herd immunity, even though herd immunity was not the primary goal of the Swedish method. We went out to the woods the other day to walk and barbecue some sausages on a fire. It was a beautiful warm day, and we were not the only ones to visit that particular purpose-built grill place in the middle of the woods. Yes, the council does provide purpose-built places to barbecue in the middle of the woods here. Everyone took it in turns to grill their sausages and kept a good, safe distance from each other. It felt good to be out in the woods in the sunshine and fresh air, and we were all following the rules that aren't really rules at all, but more like recommendations. The forest was lush, and the sun shone bright in the cloudless sky, and the sausages were delicious. It felt good to be alive in the Swedish lockdown that wasn't. And you're all doing that angry face again. Any questions?